This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hopefully, LT is all right. Caps 0-2, three shots total. And those two opportunities, the shots are all even at 17. Neither team has a shot on goal here in this third period. Still waiting for one. Near side for Carlson. There's a shot. He scores. And it's Alex Ovechkin on the left side. He crossed up Ladar on a shot from the office. That's what they came to see. It's goal 883 with 15:08 to go. It's 2-1.
There you go. John Walton on the call last night. That got the Caps to within a goal of Calgary, but they did lose the game 3-1. But the goal gets Ovi to within 12 now of Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring mark. He is on a heater, 8 goals now in his last 8 games. Good morning, everybody. Big game tonight in College Park. Maryland, a 3.5-point favorite over 8th-ranked Michigan State. A Terps win keeps them alive for a Big Ten regular season title and really moves them up seeding-wise for the NCAA tournament. We'll preview that game a little bit later on this hour. You'll hear Kevin Willard's keys to a win tonight. He joined us on the show yesterday. This from Jeffrey X to open up the show, Denton. Jeffrey X writes, "Steady as she goes, Sheehan. There's no reason to overswing for fences. Miles Garrett might be the answer to their defensive problems, but once you go down the path of multiple first-round picks for a player, it never works out," in all caps. "Remember Herschel Walker? Let Adam Peters cook. Like last year, things will be just fine." I do remember the Herschel Walker deal. Do you guys want to, I mean, do you remember the actual amount that the Cowboys got back for Herschel Walker on October 12th, 1989? You want to talk about a franchise-changing deal for Jimmy Johnson's Cowboys. They got back a linebacker, Jesse Solomon. They got a linebacker, David Howard. They got a cornerback, Isaac Holt. They got a running back, Darren Nelson, by the way, famously the intended receiver in the 1987 NFC title game at RFK for the Vikings that ended up being broken up, sort of, by Daryl Green as Washington went on to Super Bowl 22. They got a defensive end, Alex Stewart, but then here comes the haul. 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, a conditional third-round pick, and a 6th-round pick. The Vikings got back Herschel Walker, 2 third-round picks, a 5th-round pick, and a 10th-round pick. In 3 seasons, by the way, as a Viking, Herschel Walker did rush for 2,264 yards, had 86 receptions for another 681 yards, and 26 total touchdowns before he was released in 1992. The Cowboys turned those picks into Emmitt Smith, Russell Maryland, Kevin Smith, and Darren Woodson. And, of course, the Cowboys went on to win three Super Bowls in four seasons. The Herschel Walker trade was certainly a one-sided all-time fleecing. There is no doubt about that. But just a brief, you know, Google review or ask for recent trades, you know, in the last century of teams sending multiple picks to other teams, first-round picks for players. You know, the Bears acquired Jay Cutler for multiple first-round picks. Cutler ended up leading the Bears, actually, to an NFC Championship game. He played pretty well. This not from this century, actually, but Eric Dickerson getting traded for multiple first-round picks from the LA Rams to the Indianapolis Colts in 87 immediately paid off as Dickerson led the Colts to the playoffs. The Rams acquired years ago Jim Everett from the Houston Oilers for multiple first-round picks. Everett led the Rams to multiple playoff trips. It's not, you know, a one-sided beatdown in terms of multiple first-round picks. Jalen Ramsey was traded from Jacksonville to L.A. in 2019 for two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick, and Ramsey was huge for the Rams ultimately in their Super Bowl run in 2021. There are examples of multiple first-round picks working out, and like with everything, there are examples of multiple first-round picks not necessarily working out. So, you know, you got to pick your spots here. Look, Myles Garrett ain't going for anything less than two first-round picks. And as far as steady as she goes, I'm with you on that. I actually have a lot of trust built up. I think we all should, in Adam Peters and the front office to do the right things in this offseason. Look, I have advocated for a swing for the fences offseason, but there aren't a lot of swings to take in this offseason. You know, it's not a banner free agent class. The players, the big-name players that are really available are available only by trade. And by the way, Cleveland doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down yesterday on Andrew Berry, their GM, saying they're not trading Myles Garrett. So it may be a moot point. Now, we know that that can be posturing at times this time of year. I mean, there have been many examples of coaches saying player, you know, X is not going to be traded, and then two or three days later, that player is dealt. We saw that with Russell Wilson as an example a few years ago. Pete Carroll saying he's not going to be traded. It was two or three days later he was traded to the Denver Broncos. I don't know if Myles Garrett will get traded. I really don't. I don't know why you would trade a player like that. You've got him under contract. He is in the prime of his career. The only way you decide to move on from Myles Garrett is if you make the conscious decision to tear it down and start over. Cleveland may decide to do that, but that's the only reason you trade Myles Garrett. Because if you're just recalibrating, you keep Myles Garrett, because if you somehow land on even a veteran quarterback that gives you some stability at that position, the roster around that quarterback isn't so bad that you couldn't compete to win 9 or 10 games and be in the postseason like you were in 2023. They are just 1 year removed from a playoff trip. Now, were they a serious contender in 2023? No. But in the AFC, man, if you don't have one of those quarterbacks, and maybe the quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, how serious of a contender are you really? You know, Adam Peters spoke yesterday. We carried it, you know, eventually once they got the audio figured out. And, you know, Adam Peters did not disclose a lot, you know, during the press conference that he had. However, I thought there was an interesting back and forth that J.P. Finley got with Adam Peters down or out in Indianapolis. after the press conference. I want you to listen to it because there are two things in here that I think are noteworthy. Again, you don't get much from Adam Peters, but I thought JP got something from Adam Peters. Here's the exchange yesterday between JP Finley and Adam Peters.
A lot of veteran free agents, one-year deals. How different does your outlook to free agency come in this year where you want to get some of those guys back, but you got a lot of cap space too?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as last year. We have a little less cap space, but we really operate more off a cash budget. And so cap space and that stuff is always kind of whatever's on the internet. It's not always the case. I think not really compare this year to last year, but we just have a lot of free agents and we still have a lot of holes to fill on the roster. We have, I think, the second least amount of players on our roster in the league right now. So we'll be busy, but we want to spend, you know, on Commanders and spend the right way. So that's how we're going to look at it.
How important is it to get a few of those deals done before free agency opens? Some of the guys you've identified as Commanders, keep them in-house.
Yeah, certainly you'd like to do that. And we're talking with a lot of those guys right now. It just depends on what they want to do and if they want to, if we can come to an agreement before free agency. Some guys want to hit free agency and see what their market is. Some guys want to get stuff done right away. The great thing is the culture that DQ created, there's a lot of guys that want to come back, and we've had a lot of really good conversations with that, and so proud of that, proud of what DQ's created, and having a lot of guys that want to be Commanders going forward.
Tell us which ones want to come back.
No.
So two things stood out to me. Number one, when he talked about, you know, the cap space, and you can't always believe what you read on the internet, he said it's more about a cash budget. Now, I took note of that because just because they have a lot of money to spend on free agents, just because they do have a lot of cap space, and whether the internet figures are correct or not, Washington has a significant amount of available cap space. And by the way, if they trade John Allen, they add even more to that. But is ownership putting them on a budget? You know, they've got to be willing to spend the money. And when you go after a lot of free agents, and I'll get to that part next, you know, there is, in signing bonus money, there's a big outlay from the beginning, you know, and they just, within the last 2 years, $6 billion. You know, last year we did not see massive spending, lots of one-year deals. They did a great job with the one-year deals. They did a great job with the short-term deals that were just slightly longer than 1 year, but no big money for anybody. And they have, I think, a big, you know, box to check here in the offseason as it relates to money. They've got to extend Terry McLaurin. They can't let him get into the final year of his contract and threaten unrestricted free agency in 2026, a year from now. So I don't know anything with respect to that, but every team's ownership will say, well, just because we have all of that cap space, and when you have all of that cap space, keep in mind, when you have all of it, you know, and you end up spending significant portions of it in one season, the cash outlay from the beginning is overwhelming. So that was number one. Number two is, and this is something that I've pointed out a little bit over the last few days in talking about, say, the wide receiver position and even the defensive tackle position. And he clarified it. Washington has the second fewest players under contract on an NFL roster. A lot of that is because of all of the one-year deals as they remade the roster last year. By my count, they have 29 players under contract. In terms of 29 players that are likely to have a pretty good chance of making the team, look, they go to OTAs in minicamp with 90. So you're talking about another 61 players that have to be added. There's going to be a lot of activity, whether it's big contract related or not. There's going to be a lot of activity between now and the time they go to camp. Now, look, that is a combination of re-signing their own free agents and adding new free agents. But they got a lot of work to do, man. Part of the, you know, challenge of taking that first year to recalibrate, to kind of see what's what, you know, in signing a bunch of players because you had to fill out a roster a year ago as well with one-year deals and very short-term deals, is you put yourself into position in year two, regardless of the results, where you had to add a lot of players again. But, yeah, they have the second fewest players under contract in the NFL. Now, that's opportunity, too. Like, it's not like you look at the players that they are that could potentially be lost because of free agency, and you say, oh, my God, they're going to be devastated with all of the losses in free agency. You don't view it that way. I mean, sure, you want Bobby Wagner back and Zach Ertz more likely than not back and Jeremy Chinn back and, you know, a few others. But there isn't, you know, a heavyweight free agent availability. I say that, and I actually wonder what a guy like Chinn and even a Bobby Wagner at his age, the kind of market they could have, because Bobby Wagner was really good last year. Bobby Wagner's also an incredible force in your organization, just being there. So there's a market for Bobby Wagner if he goes out and decides to, you know, play the market. But they've got, you know, they got 60 players, somewhere around 60, plus or minus two or three. And going through their contracts, you know, in terms of under contract, I counted 29, maybe 30, if I may have missed one on special teams, under contract. They got 90 that they go to camp with, 90 that they go to mini camp and OTAs with. Now, they don't have to go to 90 with that, but you pretty much want to have 90 going to camp. And yeah, a lot of those players will be on, you know, undrafted rookie deals. And you will obviously have a draft class of players that will be a part of that as well. We know that. But you're talking about seven or eight players as it stands right now. They got a lot of work to do. It's going to be fun to sit here and watch it. And I do think, you know, to Jeffrey X's point, I do have a very confident feeling in Adam Peters and letting him, as Jeffrey X wrote, letting him cook, you know? And I also understand, while I have a desire as a fan to see them recognize the opportunity, I mean, they're not stupid. Of course they recognize the opportunity. The opportunity being Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal with a lot of availability to go out and create the roster you want to create with available cap space, as long as the budget is there from ownership to support it. But there's only so much you can do because they didn't, you know, hit this free agency period upcoming in the best possible overall year. It's just not a lot in terms of big spend opportunities out there. You know, T. Higgins, Trey Smith, there are a few, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you're not talking about superstar players in free agency. The superstar players, and really there's only one of them unless you have a need for a quarterback, and then there's the Matt Stafford situation in L.A., but you're talking about Myles Garrett, because I would not, you know, categorize Cooper Kupp or Deebo Samuel or anybody, or even a Tariq Hill at this point, given some of his recent injuries, in the same category that I would view Myles Garrett. Now, let me just say, back to the core of the question or the comments from Jeffrey X, I do believe that Myles Garrett is worth pursuing. I absolutely think that he would be the difference maker on defense. I don't think you're acquiring one player. I think you're acquiring the equivalent of two to three players. And I also think there's an argument to be made, and we'll get into this because I did find the sound from Jeremy Fowler. Denton and I were looking at it for it yesterday. We weren't sure which. Several of you had said there was comments from an NFL insider on the Greenberg Get Up show, and they finally kind of got published yesterday afternoon, and I'm going to play that for you when we come back from the break. But there is, you know, a kill two birds with one stone approach here. And that is, you're getting a great player that equals 2 to 3 players, but you're also keeping that player away from your division rival and the front runner in the division and in the conference. We'll get to that next. Walt Williams is going to join us at 11 a.m. He'll help us preview Maryland, Michigan State tonight. Denton's got 5 burning questions that he is in the midst of putting together right now. We'll get to that later on in the show. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. All right, let me just update something that I said in the opening segment, because somebody texted me something and said, make sure you look at all of the players that we've signed here recently. So actually, under contract for next year, they have 46 players technically under contract. But like I said, you know, there's, it's like 29 that would make a depth chart. You know, but they've added, you know, guys like, and you probably not even read these transactions, Aneem Dankwa, you know, Alan George, Valami Fehoko, Norrell Pollard. So there's a lot of, you know, guys out there that they've added. It's 46 total. It's still the second fewest in the league. And so they've got 44 more players to add before they go to work in the spring. So this is going to be very active, but it's roughly 29 or 30 that you would look at and say they would actually be on a depth chart at this point, you know, in terms of being under contract. All right. So yesterday, and we talked about this, it turns out we now know who said it, because I wasn't watching and Denton wasn't watching. We just had people tell us about what was said. Jeremy Fowler, who is a true NFL insider and is able to connect the dots based on information. He said this during the show yesterday about Myles Garrett.
Couple teams.
Okay, and then tell me why I should be thinking about Myles Garrett on the Eagles.
So way early, I'm connecting some dots here, admittedly, but this is a conversation that some people in the league have had, that the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive teams on the trade market, will be looking for a pass rusher. Josh Sweat, the Super Bowl likely or close MVP, could be out. The expectation is that he will sign elsewhere, so they're going to have a need there. Myles Garrett, they would not want to see him go to the Washington Commanders, for example. If that was to gain traction, Howie Roseman would likely step in, try to make a deal that is too hard for the Cleveland Browns to refuse. Keep it in mind here, the Browns are a hard no. They're still telling teams they have no interest in trading Myles Garrett. If he were to become available, several teams will be in that. Maybe the Eagles will be one.
First of all, I mean, the fact that the Eagles, that anybody in the NFC East or the NFC in general would be concerned about a player landing in Washington, my God, have times changed for the better, obviously. So here's why I view the Myles Garrett thing as a plus-plus deal. You may have to pay significantly for Myles Garrett, because Howie Roseman, as Jeremy Fowler said, could jump in and overpay. You know, imagine Myles Garrett replacing Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat had a fine Super Bowl game. He's no Myles Garrett. You put Myles Garrett on that Philadelphia defense and he stays healthy and plays like Myles Garrett, Philadelphia's odds increase even more so as the favorites to win the Super Bowl. And you'd be starting to look at Philadelphia's defense heading into the season as, on paper, one of the great potential defenses in NFL history. And, of course, we know offensively they're capable as well. Now, defense is variable year to year. We understand that as football fans. It is much more variable than offense is year to year. Sometimes, for whatever reason, defenses are great one year and not so great the next. And then when you're expecting it to be not good, it ends up turning out really great. But they're really talented on defense, not to mention they're young and they're very well coached on defense. So I would view the Myles Garrett conversation by including the Philadelphia aspect to this. You have to. You know, in looking at whatever the price would be to win that, you know, trade war, if, by the way, there is even a trade competition. Because, as Jeremy Fowler said, and Andrew Berry, the GM in Cleveland, doubled down, tripled down on yesterday, he's not available, according to Cleveland. This is all a conversation based on the possibility that he will become available. If he's not available, he's not available. But if he became available, there would be an absolute war to get Myles Garrett among a number of teams. And given that Cleveland's preference would probably be an NFC team, Washington, Philadelphia, Detroit would be at the top of the list. I had some, where is the thing that I was looking for? The odds on, there were odds posted recently on the trading for Myles Garrett, and Washington was the favorite. Where are those odds?
It was the 33rd team that had Washington plus 275.
Just pulled it up. Yep, thank you. Washington per 33rd team's odds is the favorite to land Myles Garrett at plus 275. Buffalo's actually second at plus 400. And then Philly's plus 550, Detroit's plus 700, Chicago's plus 1,200, and Green Bay is plus 1,400. But for the purposes of this conversation, we focus on Philadelphia. You know, this isn't T.J. Duckett we're talking about, where Washington traded for T.J. Duckett back in 2006 at the end of training camp, A, because Clinton Portis had been injured in a preseason game, but he wasn't out for the year, and B, because they didn't want Duckett to go to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they gave up a third and a fourth rounder. I mean, one of the dumbest deals ever. This is Myles Garrett we're talking about. You know, we're talking about Myles Garrett. We're not talking about T.J. Duckett. So trading for Myles Garrett does two things. It puts him on your team, and it massively upgrades your defense, and by extension, your chances to win the Super Bowl. That's the goal now. Okay, the goal now is not to go 9-8 or 10-7 and qualify for the playoffs. The goal now that you have the quarterback is to get to the Super Bowl and win it. So you do that. And then two, you keep them away from the team that you have to beat out in your division to increase significantly your chances of going to the Super Bowl and winning it. Like we've talked about many times, it's not just that Philadelphia is good, it's that they're in your division, which means if you can't win the division, then you're starting on the road, needing to win more likely than not, depending on how the playoffs shake out, three games on the road to get to the Super Bowl. That just doesn't happen a lot. It's happened before, but not, it's very rare. Three on the road to get to the Super Bowl. So I would look at that and I would say, okay, let's just say that internally we believe a first rounder, a second rounder, and a third rounder is the price for Myles Garrett. In sort of a standalone, we're just thinking about our team. I would add to the fact that if you're beating out Philadelphia for him, you increase that price because you're getting more in return. I think it's part of the calculus. You've got to beat out Philadelphia. I'm not doing this as cause for alarm or like some belief that they can't beat out Philadelphia now. Of course they can. The NFL changes significantly year to year. We have no idea what's going to happen next year. Philadelphia could lose five starters in the first 3 weeks of the season and end up going 6-11 because of it. We know these things happen. But going in there expecting them to be their best and you to be your best, they're going to be very difficult to beat out. Not impossible, but you let Myles Garrett go there, and it becomes even harder. It just does. Well, they're going to give up a lot. Howie Roseman will overpay. Well, Howie Roseman doesn't overpay that much. But remember the position they're in. They just won it. They've been to two in the last 3 years. They've got very, very pretty much etched in stone at this point. The best roster in the NFL. They do. Now, depending on what they lose, I don't think they can afford to lose Zach Bond. I think they can afford to lose Josh Sweat and Milton Williams if they add Myles Garrett or if they add players to replace those players. Remember, they didn't even have N'Kobe Dean after the first playoff game. He was playing as well as anybody on defense was. They'll get him back next year. They've got the best roster in the NFL. Now, do they have the best quarterback in the NFL? They don't. Is he good? Yeah. Is he good when it matters most? Yes, 100% so. But I would look at Washington dealing for Myles Garrett as a two for one. You're getting him to upgrade your own chances by improving your defense significantly, and you aren't allowing Philadelphia to add him. You've got to be thinking in terms of, we've got to win more games than the Eagles in 2025, or at least win a tiebreaker if we win the same number of games as the Eagles do. This is no more recalibration talk. You're in the hunt. You're in the mix. You're the eighth favorite right now in the league to win the Super Bowl. You're the third or fourth pick, depending on which sports book you wager through, to win the NFC Championship. These will be the best preseason odds to win the NFC Championship or to win the Super Bowl Washington's had in 25 years. And they're legitimate. It's not fake because of what they have at quarterback. And because they've got a chance with the available cap space, the available roster spots, and I think a belief from a lot of us in Adam Peters in the front office and Dan Quinn and his, you know, EQ ability to size up people, and they've seemed to have a real feel for the kind of people they want, and that went a long way because it wasn't just talent. I mean, it was far from just talent. The 12-win regular season, the two playoff wins on the road, an NFC championship visit. It was, they created a culture and a locker room that came together. That's front office and coaching, man. It's the combination of your GM and your coach being aligned, having that aligned vision, believing in what the definition of secret sauce is. The Myles Garrett thing becomes a lot more interesting if there is a belief among people in the league that Philadelphia is going to be an active participant in that, and that Howie Roseman won't want to lose that opportunity. And Philadelphia, look, has earned the right at this point to overpay. You know, people thought they overpaid for A.J. Brown. Difference maker. They go for it. And they are a Super Bowl contender. They're the Super Bowl favorite. They would be a bigger Super Bowl favorite landing Myles Garrett. And by the way, it fills a need for them because they're probably not going to re-sign Josh Sweat. All right, we'll do some Denton news next. Walt Williams is going to join us at 11 a.m. to help preview Maryland-Michigan State tonight. Terp fans, this is probably the biggest home game in a few years, 5 years maybe, since they played Michigan State at the end of the 2020 season, right before COVID struck. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Before we get started with your daily news, Denton and I were just talking about some of the quarterback carousel stuff here in the offseason, and I just said, where's Derek Carr going to play? And he goes, he's going to be in a booth next year, as in on TV. And I said, you think Derek Carr will be good on TV? And you just said, and we went back from break, and I didn't hear your answer.
I said, well, I don't think he'll be in a booth. I think he'll be in a studio. But I think he'll be fine on TV. I think he'll be better than his brother, to be honest.
Is his brother any good?
It's a low bar. He's on NFL Network. I thought his brother was fine, but his brother wasn't like spectacular by any stretch of the imagination. I actually do think that Derek Carr is a really good communicator, so I think he'd be really good on TV. Like him and Kirk, I think are the next two, maybe not superstars, but the next two quarterbacks that'll make a nice transition to television.
There's something about Derek Carr and the way he talks that sometimes, like, he does this.
He talks like this country thing. He talks like
but
a pastor.
Then, what'd you say?
He talks like a Southern Baptist preacher.
He does, but then other times he doesn't. It depends on the audience.
It's being flexible.
I've never been a huge Derek Carr fan as a quarterback. I just have always... I'll tell you, he was one that Cooley was enamored with coming out of Fresno. He was like, this dude is the real deal. You know, Jay Gruden loved Derek Carr. Still does. Thinks that if everything around him is right, that you can win big with Derek Carr. And he did have that one season with the Raiders that he was having a phenomenal season, and he broke his leg late in that season. They went to the postseason. I think they lost to the Bengals in the first round, right?
Yeah, to Andy Dalton and AJ Green. One of my favorite Derek Carr stats is that over the course of his career, he has more MVP votes than Russell Wilson because of that season.
Because of that one season?
Yeah, he only has like one vote, but Russell Wilson doesn't have any votes.
Other than that season, has he ever had a great season?
No. He's been like fine, but he hasn't had a great season. They were like 12-4 that year. And I think it was Matt McGloin that started the game for the Raiders in the postseason when he got hurt.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, Cousins on that playoff game in Kansas City, Casey Houston was phenomenal.
He's great.
On the set with Scott and those guys. He'll be great at that. And who knows when it'll come. It might come sooner rather than later. We'll see. All right. What do you got for news?
All right. So I do want to start by a congratulations.
By the way, Derek Carr's a 4-time Pro Bowler. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. What does the Pro Bowl even mean anymore?
I hear you.
Okay. He did have almost 5,000 yards, though, in 2021. I do want to start with a congratulations. Friend of the program, Trace McSorley, going back to Penn State. I remember we had him on in 2025, because Penn State was playing in the college football playoff. He said, I want to coach one day. Well, he's now going to be on the coaching staff of Penn State. So congratulations to Trace McSorley.
Awesome.
Caps last night, they lose to the Flames 3-1. Alex Ovechkin scored another goal. It's his 30th of the season. It's now his 19th year with 30 goals, which is an asinine number. He becomes the fourth player to ever have 30 goals in a season at age 39. Number now 883, 12 away from breaking the record, 11 away from tying the record of Wayne Gretzky.
He's averaging 0.714 goals per game. So that would put him at basically, we're looking now. It was April 4th against Chicago at home that he was on track for. So now, with the goal last night, he is still on. It's still Chicago, but it could be at Carolina the game before that on Wednesday, April 2nd. So, I mean, that assumes the current pace.
Yes.
You know, at 0.714 goals per game. It's a ridiculous pace.
So it's funny, if you look at the middle of March, from the middle of March on, you see a pretty substantial rise in ticket prices at home.
I see them.
Yeah, and that Chicago game that has long been the date that people had circled, as of right now, and it's only going to get higher, assuming he hasn't broken it by then as we get closer, it's $162 to get in the door.
I had a long conversation with Ted Leonsis yesterday, which I'm going to air on my podcast today, and then we'll play some of it, pieces of it, on the radio show later in the week, and even maybe next week, we'll see. But he told me that Gretzky and the league will start to show up at games once he gets within 5 goals of Gretzky. I mean, I said, really, 5? Well, I guess there's a chance he could score 6 in a game, but that seems pretty unlikely. I would have thought that once he got to within 3, you know, a hat trick away from Brady. That's when, but apparently the plan is for Gretzky and the league officials, Gary Bettman too, Bettman and Gretzky to be at every Alex Ovechkin game once he gets within five of breaking the record.
He has had four goals four times in his career, but the last time that happened was 2017. I just hope that he doesn't break it on an empty netter. That's like my one. That's a personal thing. It's going to count nonetheless, but I really hope he doesn't break it on an empty netter.
Somebody said to me the other night, empty netters are stupid. They shouldn't count. I'm like, well, I mean, all of them have a bunch of... Who leads all time in empty netters?
That's a good question.
There's got to be a stat on that, right?
There has to be somewhere. Who has scored the most on an empty net? It is Alex Ovechkin. Though to be fair, he's going to be the guy that scored the most goals ever, so that makes sense.
He's got 64. Gretzky's second at 56.
Right. So a lot. Both guys took advantage of it a lot. And the only reason that you have an empty net is if you're winning. So not a bad consensus.
Gretzky's team was winning, and Ovechkin's teams have won. It's going to be a very exciting goal. I'm with you. I would prefer it not to come on an empty netter. But if it does, it's still going to be I hope that the opportunity is an opportunity that we go into the game knowing there's a chance. Like, it would be great if he tied Gretzky on one night and then broke the record on another night.
Right.
Because the tying will be an event, the breaking of the record. If he ends up with a hat trick, you know, he's trailing Gretzky by two goals and he gets a hat trick in a game, most people aren't going to be anticipating that that's the night he does it. I want a night, or maybe a couple of nights if he doesn't do it. It'd be cool to have a couple of games in a row where he's tied with Gretzky.
I think they should do, like, remember when Aaron Judge was approaching that record a couple years ago?
Yeah.
And they would just break in every time he swings.
But that's easy to break in for an at bat. It's not easy to break in for a goal in hockey.
I think if he scores a second goal in a game, you just
carry it live
for the entirety of it. They did make some adjustments to the schedule in terms of nationally televised stuff yesterday. So the game against Minnesota, that's on the road on March 27th, will air on Monumental 2, which I don't know if that's going to be the original broadcast or they do like an alt cast that our guy Grant Paulson is a part of. I don't know which one that's going to be, but it'll be on ESPN Plus and Hulu.
What's the alt cast thing again? What is that?
It's kind of like the Manning cast, but instead of the Mannings, it's local people around. You know, Grant Paulson's a part of it. Sometimes.
Talking hockey,
yeah. they do one for the Wizards, too.
They do?
Yeah. Yeah. The game against the Blue Jackets, the Columbus Blue Jackets, on the 12th of April.
ABC.
That's a Saturday. That's on ABC.
Yeah, just I'm looking at it.
And then April 17th against Pittsburgh is going to be on ESPN and Monumental.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the breaking in for at bats, I mean, we've seen that many times over the years recently with Judge. We've seen it, obviously, if you go back to Barry Bonds, you know, hitting streaks, you know, going back, you know, guys like Paul Molitor, that, you know, their various, you know, hitting streaks that got close to, you know, into the 40s or whatever, chasing down DiMaggio. But you can't just break into a hockey game when he needs one goal.
It depends what the broadcast is. Like, would you rather watch like a baseball game where it's like nothing?
Yeah, I think your point is that, and I'd like to see Joe Beninati and Monumental be on the call for
Definitely.
The record breaker.
Definitely.
Personally. And it would be phenomenal if Lockhart was back. I don't know if he can be or not.
I do think it should be one of those things where Monumental should always, for the rest of the season, should always have a broadcast with Joe B on it. I know, like, it gets weird with national stuff, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And these guys have been with Ovechkin for just, I believe it's all of his career. So I feel like they should be on the call no matter what. And ESPN or whoever needs to cut a deal to at least allow them to be on it, even if it is a national game.
Right.
I'd actually put them on the national broadcast, honestly. All right, elsewhere, you know, we're getting a lot of news out of the NFL this week because everyone is at the combine. The Bengals said that they plan on making Ja'Marr Chase the top-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. The previous record for that was Justin Jefferson at about $35 million a year, so it's looking like, at the very least, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get $36 million per year in his new contract.
I mean, was it you who told me this, or did I read this, that there's a chance he could get 40 a year? Did you tell me that?
I did not tell you that. I think 40 would be a little high.
That's what I thought. But somebody said it, or I read it somewhere, that he's going to look for 40 a year.
And they'll give it to him, honestly. Because if they don't, somebody else will, and the Bengals are not about to let him go.
What's Terry going to get in a contract extension average per year?
Probably 30 or 31.
Yeah, he's going to be at 30.
I think at the very least.
Factor in age.
Yeah, factor in age, but it's probably going to be a three-year deal, three-year, like $95 million, something like that, along those lines. I think you got to give him like more than Brandon Ayuk, and Brandon Ayuk got 30 a year.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Ayuk is 3 or 4 years younger. Let's point that out.
He is, but it's just the nature of X player got this amount, so now you're up.
Is Terry's 31 or 30?
Terry McLaurin is 29.
29.
And he'll turn 30 in like week 2 of the season in September.
Okay. And he's getting married. Congratulations.
He got married, yeah.
I mean, he got married.
Yeah,
congrats. His
wife was beautiful.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Kyle Shanahan is officially naming Clay Kubiak as the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, but he will retain the rights to call plays. So Kyle Shanahan's not giving up play calling, but he is hiring Clay Kubiak, or promoting Clay Kubiak.
When I first read that, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to give up play calling? There's no chance. This is guys like Sean and Kyle, this is what they live for, is the feel in the game and putting the game plan together in terms of the plays and scripting the first, you know, whatever number, and then feeling the game as you go. I didn't think that Kyle would give up play calling responsibilities. All right, what else? What other NFL news?
I did not either. We'll save the Stafford stuff for later because we got long audio with that. The Colts, though, are going to create, quote, real competition at quarterback, which means it feels like the future of Anthony Richardson is very much in question, which would be one of the all-time swings and misses from Indianapolis.
Indy's going to end up signing a veteran quarterback to come in and compete and probably end up starting. Look, I put some of this on the Colts. I think that they drafted a quarterback that everybody said coming out is ridiculously gifted and talented. You and I both watched a lot of Anthony Richardson. That season opener back in whatever year that was, that game that they played against
Utah.
Against Utah, thank you. Was a tone setter for that season. He just didn't have enough college starts. And when he got drafted number 4 overall in 2023, it was like, he's got to sit for a year. You cannot play this guy. He is nowhere near ready from a mental standpoint to take NFL reps at the quarterback spot. And they had him out there at the beginning of that year. That would have been the 2023 season, running around, making plays. He gets hurt. Last year he gets hurt. Last year he bails, remember, on his team because he was tired. He's got to sit behind a true veteran quarterback for a year. That should have started right from the jump. He's got some ability. All right, what else?
I think he does have ability. I think they got a little cocky themselves. You know, for such a long time, it felt like they had the Midas touch. They went from Manning to Andrew Luck, and they thought they could do it again. Swing and a miss. Final thing here, this has nothing to do with football, but I just felt like it is something you would be intrigued with at the very least. You know, I was getting a haircut yesterday, got a bachelor party coming up this weekend, so made sure I had to be looking good, which is really just shaving my head. But I was sitting in a barber shop and they were listening to a classic rock station, and Smells Like Teen Spirit came on. That aged me a little bit. I was like, when did Nirvana become classic rock? But Nirvana's blasting on some classic rock stations.
In a barbershop.
In a barbershop.
You usually don't get that in a barbershop.
Yeah.
I love getting haircuts. Even without a lot of hair, I like getting haircuts. I like when there's like stuff going on the top of my head. It's very relaxing. Can almost just kind of fall asleep. I do. I fall asleep in a barber chair.
This was the first time I'd ever gotten the razor to the dome. It was a relaxing experience.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I never, you know, I'm a huge Nirvana fan. I never saw them live. Of course, there was only a short window in which to see them live before Kurt Cobain passed. Another age 27 rock star passing back in 1994. But that would be, there are two bands that if I ever could go back and see them in their prime, Nirvana's one and Zeppelin's the other. Those are the two. Whenever we play these games with friends, it's like, all right, you get one show to go back and see that you've never seen before. You never saw them. You get to see them in their prime. Those would be the two for me. You got one that comes off the top of your head?
Michael in his prime would be amazing. Obviously, I was not alive for his prime. Nirvana right. would be on the list. I don't know that I ever made a full list, but Nirvana would definitely be on the list. It's the reason I took guitar class in middle school and high school. I was like, man, I'm going to be playing Smells Like Teen Spirit by the end
of this. Do you play guitar?
I did for a little bit. I wish I still could. The problem was they just had me playing like Ode to Joy in six different keys, and we never got to the Nirvana section.
Well, that's pretty. And by the way, that is something that I would expect to hear in a barbershop. Maybe not a barbershop, but certainly a spa. A salon, which that's not where I go get my haircut. All right. Walt Williams is going to join us next. We'll talk about the big one tonight in College Park. Kevin Sheehan, show the Team 980 and the team980.com.